This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. To participate in tonight's show, call 800-878-PLAY.
Got those lines available to you. If you'd like to talk a little football with Jack Tatum and George Atkinson of the Raiders, along with Skip Thomas and Willie Brown, boy, I'll tell you, these guys were great as defensive backfield. Let me also ask you about a receiver who played for the Dallas Cowboys, Butch Johnson. I always thought he was a fine receiver. Did he give you much trouble? I mean, how did you feel about Butch as a receiver?
Well, we were fortunate. We never got to play the Cowboys. I played against Butch a couple of times, and Butch never really gave us that much trouble, probably because it was preseason, and he didn't really have to come across the middle and do anything in preseason. So I guess we got pretty fortunate, but I think Butch was a great receiver. I thought he made some of the big catches across the middle, and, you know, I think he had a little bit of courage.
Butch, do you think these guys were any good?
Hey, man, what a surprise this is.
Hey, man, when you talk about going over the middle, going into Oakland, you can forget about it.
Yeah, it was tough to play there, was it not? What made it so tough to play there? I mean, every stadium is tough, Butch, but what about Oakland?
And Jack Tatum.
That's funny. I think the last time I saw Butch, he was going through Oakland Airport.
Last time I saw him, I think we were in Denver.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, man.
Good.
Butch was going through Oakland Airport quickly, right, Butch?
I'll tell you what, it was good to see Jack outside of uniform. I walked off the plane and saw Jack walking up, and chills came down my back. I kept thinking, God, man, that's a kidney or something.
Hey, let me ask you something, Butch. When it comes to respect, what is it that wide receivers look for in defensive backs like Tatum, like Atkinson? What is it that they look for that gets their respect?
Well, what they had was not only just physical gifts that were beyond measure. I mean, when you put four guys in a defensive backfield that all have just great physical gifts, but it was the intelligence and the intensity that these guys had too. So when you take that combination, and you can find it every once in a while, that he has the intensity, he has the intelligence, he has the competitiveness that he wants to win, and then he has the intellectual capabilities to put it all on the field at the same time. So surprisingly, even when we would play against the Raiders, which wasn't rare at those days, it was a mutual respect. There wasn't a lot of talk going on because the intelligence was there. You know, you had to be in the right place at the right time or you were going to get killed, because they were going to be in the right place at the right time always. And it was more of a thinking man's game, and it wasn't that anybody was dirty. You just knew that if you caught the ball, you were going to get your head knocked off. I mean, that's just the way it was going to work out. And I thought, if you grade out the best defensive backs of all time, that group of defensive backs collectively as a group was probably the best that has ever been in the game.
Thank you.
Butch, hold on just a second, and let me ask these guys. Were the small receivers, the guys that were diminutive, were they difficult to defend?
Not really. The receivers that were tougher to defend, for me especially, were the big receivers. At that time, you know, while we have Butch on the line, he was considered a big receiver. And those tight receivers like himself, the guys who delivered the blows, he fell into that category too. And with the guys who delivered the blows to you, man, you had to really, really toughen up, because when they came into the middle, they just weren't coming into the middle to go down. They were coming with a purpose in mind. And you don't see too much of that. You don't see the kind of receivers like the Butch Johnsons like they were doing that.
Well, time. I guess I think of people like Billy White Shoe Johnson. Randy Vataha.
I think the small, quick receivers kind of gave the cornerbacks a little more trouble, because they had the man-to-man coverage on the short and intermediate routes. But in my position, by the time they got back to me, it was pretty much determined where they were going to be and where the ball was going to be, and I just had to meet them at that point.
Randy, did you try to run away from these guys?
Absolutely.
Say hi to Butch Johnson.
Randy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, man, just still got my ribs.
Hey, Randy, talk to me about these two guys. Were they mean and vicious?
Absolutely. Well, you know, when you wide receiver, all the schemes that we ever ran, the odd numbers were usually out, some type of pattern to the outside, and even numbers were some type of pattern to the inside. And when you would get in the huddle, you just hoped it was an odd.
Well, the thing that Randy forgot to say is about my first game up in New England. First professional game, Randy killed us. I think they beat us that game, and Randy had a great day. We just couldn't catch up with him.
That was Plunkett's debut,
That was Plunkett's debut, absolutely.
That was the only game we lost that year.
Yeah, we had you also had a teammate of mine, Roland Moss, playing at that time, playing tight end.
Sure.
We went to the same high school.
Butch, jump in here if you got an observation or two.
Well, I'll tell you one. I told Jack this. We were playing in a Legends game, and Willie Brown was up there, and Jack was up there. It was 2 years ago. We were playing flag football. Now, you got to imagine this in flag football. Willie gets a pass caught on him. You remember this, Jack?
Yeah, I do.
He gets one caught on him. And then after that, he is covering us like it's the Super Bowl. Nobody's going to catch a pass on him the next time. I mean, the competitiveness just came right out.
But it was real funny. Willie came back to me and said, if he catches another one, hit him.
Hey, Randy and Butch, I want to get an observation, and I'll let the two guys here in the studio respond to it as well. Talk to me a little bit about the both the mental and the physical battle, wide receiver against defensive back. Randy, I'll kick it off to you, and then Butch, jump in.
Well, that was always the fun part for me, as much as the physical part was the mental part, because in those days, if you caught 50 passes in a season, you were pretty much in the top three in the league. And it was much different in terms of bump and run. You know, nowadays they can only touch you one time.
Well, you like to play with these basketball rules nowadays,
that's
wouldn't
right.
you? Randy?
Oh, man, you run around free back there. So you knew you were only going to get five or six passes thrown to you in a whole game. So what you tried to do, at least mentally, is set things up constantly, you know, with a lean here and a push there and all those little techniques to when you finally got a chance they were going to throw a ball to you, that you would have set the defensive back up, especially, you know, my size not being a real big guy. You know, you had to really think through what might help you get open once in a while. So I say that was a big part of the game in those days. You know, now it's still a big mental game because you have to, with all the zone coverages and the zone blitzes, there's a lot of pressure on the wide receivers, but I don't think they have the same physical battle, certainly in the first 10 yards of the field.
And I don't think they have the physical battle either. I personally don't think. If you look at the receivers in those days, everybody was big. You can go down the list from Haven Moses to both the Gene Washingtons to the Drew Pearsons or the Tony Hills or the receivers that played the Pittsburgh Steelers receivers with John Stallworth. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, on the defensive side, but everybody had to be physical because you could be hit by a defensive back until the ball was in the air, which meant you knew that every play, if you ran 40 yards, Jack and Willie and George were going to beat your head off for 40 yards every play.
Those are good rules, but
remember, George and Mike Allen
gets two or three passes because you knew physically you had to be a physical receiver and you had to be mentally strong, and they knew that too. Right. So it was a game of who was going to get the mental edge at that time period.
Exactly.
And the one thing was just to stay safe and be careful not to make a mistake. And
stay out
I think
the
it's
middle.
More of a thinking man's game then than what it is now.
Yeah, you know, today's game is it's a much softer game when you look at it. And, you know, you don't have the big hitters in the league anymore. And I know you guys would love to play right about now.
Oh, man.
You know
oh.
what I mean? Can you imagine
oh.
that five-yard bump rule? And,
oh, well, you know, I really, if you look at the rest of them, Randy, you were an exception because, you know, you were so quick. You know, you got by, man. You had that quickness working for you. But on the other side of you, look at all the receivers, man. They were all big guys. I mean, Harold Carmichael was 6'8".
That's correct.
You know, and so as the rules change, the way the receivers change. But, Randy, what could you do in this time period? Man, nobody could touch you but 5 yards, one touch.
Well, I mean, again, it's hard for me to even think about being able to come off the line and have somebody only get one whack at you.
Yeah.
I spent my whole career, you know, getting beat up 12 or 15 yards.
Is it true, Randy, when you came into the league you were 6'5"?
Tackle.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you. Butch Johnson, always a friend to us here on Sports Byline. Randy, we've known each other for a long time. Take care, gentlemen, and thank you for joining us, and thank you for the surprise with these two guys.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Hey, man, take care. Thanks for calling.
Let's go to Lane in Merced, California. Go ahead, Lane.
Quick question for Jack. The one hit you put on, was it Sammy White?
Yeah.
With the Vikings?
In the Super Bowl, right.
Yeah, and you took his helmet off and knocked the hell out of him, and I remember you throwing your hands down. I mean, were you like, he caught the ball, he hung on to the ball, or were you like saying, man, how did this guy do this?
Well, actually, you know, I was when I got up and looked at him, I was disgusted because I almost got up and dived on the helmet. I thought that was the football. And I was just disgusted that he held on to the ball, you know. And I give Sammy a lot of credit because he took that hit, he held on to the ball, and they took him out. But later on, he did come back into the game. So I have a lot of respect for him.
Derek, Kansas City.
Otis Taylor, Morris Stroud, Ed Polak, and Nelson. Hey, man, I remember when you guys used to play at 23rd in Brooklyn down here at the Municipal Stadium. I can remember Otis Taylor carrying Nehemiah Wilson on his back for about 10, 15 yards. Man, those were some of the greatest games that I've ever seen. And, I mean, the rivalry. I know you had the rivalry with the Steelers. But I think in the old AFL, man, the top rivalry had to be the Raiders and Chiefs. You guys might have already talked about this. I'm just catching the show. But that's where I remember you guys from, man. I mean,
well, let me get a response for him because I'm running out of time. But I think he's right about that. I think in the AFL, it was definitely Kansas City-Oakland the best rival.
Yeah, I think before the Pittsburgh rivalry, I think the Kansas City-Oakland rivalry was probably the best in professional football. And I kind of came in on the end of it. And, you know, that's kind of where I picked up my Raider intensity at. I came in on 71, and we got ready to play Kansas City, and these guys went into a different level of football that week. So I kind of figured out that, you know, there was something real special going on when Kansas City came to town.
And the reason that was such a strong rivalry was because we were in the same division and we were both fighting for winning that division. Normally, whoever won that Western Division went on to the championship.
Steve, Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Jack. I want to ask you about your college coach, Woody Hayes. Would you just talk a little bit about your strongest impressions of him as a coach and as a leader of your team?
Well, I think if you speak to any of the former players who played back there at Ohio State, Woody Hayes was a great coach, and we all respected him as a coach, but better than that, Woody was a great person. There wasn't anything in the world that he wouldn't do for any of his players, but, you know, like I said, at the same time, he was a tough coach, and he was tough to play for because he demanded excellence, and if you didn't give him what he wanted on the field, you probably wouldn't get on the field on game time, but anytime off the field, it didn't matter if you were a starter or you were fourth string, he'd do anything in the world for you.
Let me share something with you. Deacon Jones was here on the program, and I talked to him about trash talking because if you're down on the sideline, I mean, there's a lot of it. And maybe it's more than when you guys played. It seemed like you just went about doing the business of playing football. Here's what Deacon Jones had to say about trash talking.
The distraction that one causes can have a tendency to make you forget the snap count, make you forget to play. Make you take your mind off of what you have to do to execute that play. Now, any time that I can get enough things in your head that counteracts that, it's going to make my team be that much stronger. So I'm constantly out there trying to find a weapon that'll work against you because I know at that point that there's nothing you can do about it anyway because I can beat you, and that's just it. What are you going to do about it?
Vintage Deacon, isn't it?
That's great. Oh,
that's deep, man. You know, we didn't do a lot of trash talking when we played. We went about the business of playing football. Our intimidation was, hey, let's hit these guys hard and make them aware that we're here. Let them catch, man, I always just said, Jack, I used to say, let them catch the first one so we can, you know, put some pads on them. But we didn't talk much. I tell you, trash talking from an offensive player could get you in trouble.
Yeah, and speaking of celebrations, I want to play this real quick because it's Dick Butkus, and he comes from the time when you guys played football. He was very adamant about the celebration that just for a common play. Here's what he told us.
What galls me, and I've done this, turned the damn game off, is that this jumping up and doing cartwheels after a tackle or after a sack, which, you know, it just, I mean, I think they're questioning the fans and everybody else integrity. When you make a sack and you jump up and do a cartwheel and point to your chest and so, hey, look, fans, you stupid fans, you see what I just did? I just did something that I'm supposed to be doing anyway, but here, in case you missed it, here I am. I'm the guy. And to me, it's just totally individualism, and they're just getting away from the team concept. I don't give a darn what they say about it.
So there is Dick, and he's very adamant. We only got 1 minute. Go ahead.
You know, I one thing that I really agree with him about is that the plays when a guy makes a play, sacks the quarterback, that's what he gets paid to do. So why do you have to celebrate, dig a ditch for a grave or whatever they call it, or after you sack a guy? That's what you get paid to do, and that's what football is about. And I totally agree with him.
Going back to dancing in the end zone, I remember when we played, Billy White Shoes, he caught a touchdown pass on us, and he was going to dance, but he turned around to us and he said, look, guys, I'm going to dance, but I'm going to go in the far corner. Yeah.
Guys, I can't thank you enough. You've been good friends to me over the years, and I love just sitting around talking football. You're welcome back here anytime. Will you promise to come back and talk with me again and for the
anytime.
Fans around the country?
You know it. You know it.
Very special men, very special players, Jack Tatum and George Atkinson with Willie Brown and Skip Thomas. I think they were the best ever defensive secondary in professional football. We'll take a break, continue with more of you and Sports Byline. I hope you enjoyed this special Sports Byline interview. For more interviews, visit sportsbyline.com. I'm Ron Barr.